Belgium game ended 3 years ago. We need you to save the ball now. Jeff Tamron, clean it up, or let's get someone who will. Clint Dempsey,
yeah,
you're a national team legend. Now we need you to be a national team leader. Michael Bradley, the U.S. does not need you to be Zen. The U.S. needs you to play better. Josie Altidore, is this really as good as it gets?
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Soft Tattooed Millionaires. I'm your host, Max, joined by my brother, Jack. Jack, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Would you describe for the listeners what your recording setup is like tonight?
Yes, I was recording in my living room, but my microphone picks up my refrigerator. So now I'm back in my closet.
Must be strong.
Yes, now I'm in my closet. I was too lazy to put all of my dirty clothes into the hamper, so half my body is on top of my dirty clothes. My microphone is on a cardboard box, and to my left are a pair of shoes I don't wear.
Well, what about you? Likewise, I am recording in my clothing chair, you know, the chair where you put all your clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Your hands.
So it's also got some dirty clothes on here. In my bedroom with my microphone on top of a organizer where I put my socks.
This should come as a surprise to nobody.
Also, like, but you know, to let some listeners in behind the curtain, we tried recording earlier, didn't work very well, so I made a power move and switched to sweatpants and a robe. So
nice. Good. I was in sweatpants the first time we recorded this. Now I'm in khakis.
Oh, okay. It's supposed to be where we get things all messed up.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've spent like a way too little time this weekend in my sweatpants. Something's been wrong.
I understand. I worked all weekend.
It's garbage, man.
It's terrible.
So let's talk soccer, though. So to start off, there's been kind of like an interesting inside baseball move with the NASL moving to the international schedule. Should we be excited about this?
Yes, I think we should be excited because this is one of the first instances of American soccer values lining up, or at least attempting to line up, or beginning to line up with international soccer values.
And by which you mean, I mean the moving to an international schedule is good because it allows a league to buy and sell players in a time when other players are being bought and sold internationally. And so it's basically like lining up your schedule to synchronize when all the money is flying around in the transfer markets. And while like the NASL probably won't be like the biggest player in the international trading pool, it's still kind of a good sign for U.S. soccer to line up that way, and even if it is only the NASL and not the MLS.
Yeah, it's great. I think this also comes on the heels of their dispute with the United States Soccer Federation. They're trying to figure out if they are a D2 or a D3. But at least they're making a statement here saying that we are the soccer league for soccer purists, or not even purists, just true fans, true aficionados of the game. We are your league. You should be interested in what we're doing, and you should see what comes next.
Classic hipster move by the NASL. So, but let's move up the soccer pyramid to MLS. There was an announcement from Miami, or rather there was a rumor from Miami that there was going to be an announcement in a couple days about jersey and team name. So I'm going to ask you, Jack, which of David Beckham's fragrances would make the best team name for the Miami soccer team?
The Miami Intimately.
Intimately. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why would you say that?
They're going to get inside your head. I mean, it's better than the Miami Classic, the Miami... I can't remember any of his other fragrances off the top of my head. But I think the Miami... Sorry.
Miami Intimately, that's all right. Miami Classic does seem like a golfing event for seniors. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not necessarily behind that one. But so we'll wait and see what the actual Miami announcement brings. Obviously... Miami is rumored to begin play in 2020. So we'll see if that how that happens. But are you excited for having David Beckham, you know, redux?
I am excited about there being a team in Miami. I am excited that his star power will bring more people to the MLS. But There's nothing about it that excites me more or less than any of the other expansion bids. In fact, I think I'm probably less excited about the Miami expansion bid than I am about, say, Cincinnati or Sacramento, towns that already have teams that are well supported.
Yeah, as I've made the point before, the Miami expansion is, for my money, an example of MLS's focus on money, where it's like a big city, big media market, that kind of thing, and not necessarily looking for cities with that already have an organic fan base in place. That said, though, you know, like, can you? I guess I don't really recall what Atlanta was like previous to this season, but you know, like, maybe MLS is doing things right if expansion and is, you know, like, looking good in some of these cities, and mm-hmm. so maybe it is smart to, like, do what it's doing and just go for the biggest markets.
Yeah, if I had any sort of metric for gauging MLS success in Miami, it would be a scene from one of my favorite television shows, Jane the Virgin, in which the mother of the show goes on a blind date with a very handsome man, and it's going very well, but she's not really that interested. But then she finds out that he used to play for the New York Red Bulls, and she becomes very, very interested. I love Jane the Virgin in general, but I love Jane the Virgin even more so because it existed in an alternate universe in which more than one person knows what the MLS is.
That's awesome. You know, I'm watching, not to get off track here, but on the video streaming service, Netflix.com, I'm watching this show called Dark.
I don't know.
Have you heard of it? Okay, no. It's like the scary German show. But it's like if Stranger Things were scary and German. And so I don't know what that's a metaphor for, but we'll come back to it. Maybe there's a team or player who is German and scary.
Okay, I mean, Jermaine Jones.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, another MLS news, and that doesn't have to do with me being afraid of things. There was the Combine this week.
Yeah.
And one standout performance from the Combine was Brandon Bye, a 22-year-old striker from Western Michigan University. So why should we be so excited about Bye?
Well, he scored 12 goals in 21 games last year, but yesterday they played him at right back. And I think this is because they want to see how... They do this with a lot of the players at the Combine, is that they know their skill set in their preferred position, so what they do is they play them out of position. At least this is what it seems like to me. I don't know if this is sort of like the official way that the Combine is run, but it would be amazing if this were just a coincidence, that all these players who do very well in their, you know, preferred positions are suddenly made to play at some other position. Anyways, so he had a really good game at right back, and I think it's because they want to judge how people handle adversity, how people read the game, how people communicate when they're uncomfortable. It's a trait that separates the collegiate athlete from the professional. But so he had a good performance. He was also the only prospect in the Combine to finish in the top 10 for strength, speed, and agility when they test for those. So his stock has definitely gone up.
The fact that he is in the top 10 for strength, speed, and agility makes me think he's like some special character sheet from a Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing. Oh, he's got 10 strength, speed, and agility.
Continuing with the Stranger Things metaphor, I see. Yeah.
But and playing out of position, it may also, some of that too is, could just be the fact that there can only be so many strikers on the field at once, and so I imagine that at Western Michigan University, he may be the big dog, but then once he comes to the Combine, players like him have got to find a way onto the field by playing in whatever position they can. But nonetheless, cool to see. Let's talk about Barco, though. So, Barco.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, finally.
Very finally. So why are you excited about Barco?
Well, I think we're excited because it's a culture shift in the MLS, in that we have a young, and everyone has already said this, but, you know, a young South American talent who has his entire future ahead of him, has offers from Europe, chooses to come to the MLS. He's 18 years old. He led Independiente in chances created. He's a dynamic sort of great dribbler on the ball. I mean, you can't be a dribbler off the ball, so, you know. But yes. Anyways, it's just... something we have not seen yet in the MLS, a blockbuster trade for a true blockbuster prospect.
It's super exciting. And I think there's so much stuff happening in MLS right now where it's like, ooh, I wonder if this will become a thing. And I mean, you made that crack about not enough people caring about the MLS, which I'm going to forgive you about, because I think we are both excited about it. And, you know, yeah, neither of us wants to like propagate that sort of negativity about it, even if it frustrates us about some things. But moves like this with Barco too excite me, because seeing it, you're just like, maybe this will become something that happens more and more frequently, where given as teams figure out like what works in the economics of MLS, the taking chances on these, you know, 18-year-old South American players or whatever, giving them a chance to play, giving them minutes, building up their value and selling them. If that's like becomes a thing MLS gets really good at, it really changes the dynamics of the league, and it just injects lots more talent and youth into the game. Yeah. And even if it's not American talent, it's still good to have better talent in the league, and it just ups the levels for everyone, and makes it into a more competitive league, which is awesome.
So when you look at the contract or the agreement that Atlanta struck up with Independiente gets 30% of his sell-on fee if they sell him within, I think it's 2 or 3 years. So that tells me that, you know, in 2 to 3 years, there are going to be a lot more suitors even than there are now. The Independiente is confident that Atlanta will not be able to hold on to him.
That's really interesting. I wonder, I mean, can you imagine if in 2 years they sell him, like, where the transfer fee, though, then gets divvied up between Independiente and MLS and Atlanta? It creates a weird set of incentives for Atlanta. So that's going to be something to watch out for in a couple of years, where Atlanta may actually be less motivated to sell them if there some of that money is going to these other two partners, Independiente and MLS.
Absolutely.
Another random, I thought kind of neat thing in MLS news was the announcement about EMLS, which is the soon to form FIFA league for MLS, where teams are each going to have a esports athlete who plays FIFA for them. And I have no desire ever to watch esports. I have never seen a single minute of esports. And maybe I get doxxed for saying that, but I still think it's kind of neat. And I think that MLS taking chances like this and doing some things that maybe like the other major American sports leagues wouldn't do is kind of a neat thing that MLS can do. And it can kind of live in this, in a sweet spot where it's free to sort of experiment and try a bunch of new things.
Yeah, I wonder if this is also an example of American soccer lining up with international values, because esports are much bigger outside of the United States. And lining up with esports, especially FIFA, I mean, it's a smart commercial decision. I also have no interest whatsoever in ever watching an EMLS game. But I think this is a good thing. And it, like, I was just on Twitter and I saw the New York Red Bulls announce the signing of some e-athlete, and I had no idea what to make of it. I had no idea what I was just kind of happy.
I had no idea what to make of the picture of the e-athlete holding his, like, PlayStation controller or whatever and, like, giving a thumbs up. It's like, man, I have total respect for people who play video games really well and are e-sport athletes, but imagine, like, the photo opportunities just aren't quite there.
Do you remember? You know, do you remember in the early '90s, the sort of ragtag crew of futuristic-looking kids that were on the side of Burger King cups?
No.
Never mind. That is what I think e athletes are.
Okay. That apparently is burned into your memory.
Yeah. Let's move on from one obscurity to the to the next.
Well, I have no good segue, but let's talk about some stuff going on in Germany this week. Mm-hmm. Besides producing scary Netflix shows, Germany has been producing some young American talent, or letting that American talent play some minutes in the Bundesliga and second Bundesliga. This week, Josh Sargent started playing with the Werder Bremen U23 team, even though he still hasn't technically signed a contract with them because he's not 18 yet. But whatever. laws are meant to be flexed. How did he do this week?
He did pretty well. He had an assist in his first game, and then he scored a goal today. We haven't been able to find any footage. I also have a feeling that the Germans have a word for his sort of gray area professional status, where meaning the 2 months in which you play for a club but cannot legally play for a club.
Yeah. Der zweite Monat Mannschaftszeitung. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not Zeitung.
I don't know. Anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, so something like that. Yeah, totally. So I watched like the clip of the assist that he set up, and just seeing a few pictures of him playing with the U23 squad with Werder Bremen, I was struck by how big he is.
Yeah.
And like he looks like a weird, muscly ginger giant. He's 6'1", and which isn't that tall, but obviously for a soccer player, it's kind of tall. Mm-hmm. And but he still looks just so much bigger and stronger than everyone else on the pitch. So that's kind of like excites me, because I think when we see these teenage players go abroad, you know, like Pulisic looks so small. Weston McKennie is kind of like small. And I feel like the American athletes, I have maybe like a sense that like they still have so much, they still have to develop, and they look smaller and they look like they've got to do something else. Obviously, they're not always smaller. But in the case of Josh Sargent, he just looks like so much more composed, big, capable of handling all of that pressure that I'm excited about that, or it's at least assuages some of my fears.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Not much else was going on in Germany from an American perspective this week, or from the sort of marquee names anyway. Christian Pulisic was injured, and Weston McKennie was on the bench, so not too exciting.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, his injury is a muscular problem. Sometimes you see this like right before a player makes a move abroad, or if there's a lot
of
transfer
speculation.
All right.
No. I'm not being serious. I'm just saying, I don't know. Do you want him to get traded to Man U or Liverpool?
I think that Dortmund doesn't have their shit together.
They didn't look like it today. The Aubameyang is on his like disciplinary whatever thing. And they just look kind of like garbage. They look toothless, and no Pulisic, no Aubameyang. But, so you don't think Dortmund's got their stuff together?
I do not want him at Man United whatsoever.
How is he going to play?
What?
How is he going to play with Man United?
I don't want him at Man United.
Yeah, he's not
gonna... Yeah, exactly. But I do think he would be pretty sweet at Liverpool, and I know it would break your heart, but it would be so dope.
Yeah, someone who roots for Everton, that would, and obviously for the U.S. Men's National Team, that would be a tough blow. But not, I mean, I try not to get too caught up in appropriating the Merseyside rivalry or derby. As a fan, obviously, like I get up for those games, but I also don't want to like affect a false Liverpudlian sense of history between those two clubs that I don't really have as someone who's opted into my Everton fandom.
Well said.
But that said, I agree. I mean, like, if he goes someplace, going to a place like Liverpool would actually be a pretty good fit for him. He's fast. He kind of plays their style. That's an absurd compliment to pay him, and I don't even know if he's really warranted that yet.
Well, of course he plays their style. I mean, Klopp.
I know, but I mean, their lineup is so good that I don't even, I mean, even considering him fitting that lineup, I don't know if he's that good yet. Maybe. It's hard.
I think he's better than Oxlade-Chamberlain. And so I think he would. I think he'd start.
That's well said, because I think phrasing it as, I think he'd start, is kind of accurate. Where still for him at 19, you just want to have him getting as many minutes as possible, I think.
I mean, because Liverpool already has a transfer set up for Keita in the summer, it's unlikely, I think, that they'll spend big money on Pulisic for just the latter half of the season, and then they have the situation on hand where they have Pulisic and Keita, as well as Oxlade-Chamberlain, and the three of them cannot be happy fighting over the same role, but so we'll see. Anyways.
But The most exciting news for this week is probably all been in Mexico. And we're not even talking about the Jonathan Gonzalez stuff, but the big news coming out of Mexico is all Landon Donovan all the time. And the weirdest thing about this is that Landon Donovan, these rumors have been going on for quite some time in Spanish language media, but not breaking into English language media, that Landon Donovan was considering accepting a coming out of retirement to play for León. So there's so much to say about this. So where do you want to start?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I could just talk a little bit about what the week was like, refreshing my newsfeed over and over and over again, reading every article I could in Spanish and just waiting for an English language article to come out, because this is the biggest player of the last 15 years for the U.S. men's national team. The most popular American player in the MLS in the last 15 years. And there was no coverage whatsoever. There's even a French article that I read before I even got anything close to this sort of blip on a Yahoo Sports article that, oh, maybe Landon Donovan is coming back. It was so ridiculous that there was no coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think Landon Donovan's bigger in France? Like,
do I?
I don't know if he's, some people have a je ne sais quoi. But anyway, so
he does have a certain arrogance about him that might translate well.
Yeah. He's the kind of American who's like, haircut's bad enough, it might be cool in France.
That's cool. I mean, he was really big here 10 years ago, so I'm sure, like, right now in France, he's he's at the peak of popularity.
So Donovan going to Mexico. First of all, super exciting.
Yes.
The thing I'm most excited about is another potential growth in Liga MX's attention in America, in the English language media. And obviously losing Jonathan Gonzalez to the Mexican national team hurts. But we do have other Americans playing in Liga MX. And now that we have, as you said, the highest profile American soccer player of the last 15 years coming out of retirement to play for León, that's another huge gateway for Americans to learn more about Liga MX, for people to start paying attention, for there to be more of a connection too between young American soccer players and a really fairly high quality league that's just across the border.
I think that's a good argument if I believed that there would be coverage. Because of the way that American media has handled this, I do not have confidence that people are going to cover Landon Donovan games.
Yeah, but like, how can Grant Wall or whomever not be tweeting about this?
Yeah, but Grant Wall is on our radars, but he's not on the radar of like a 16-year-old white soccer fan in America.
Maybe. You know? I don't know. Well, but that soccer fan in America, that St. Louis boy, whatever, he's got to be... Yeah. He's going to be wanting to learn more about Landon Donovan, and so he's going to start his Google machine, and then he's going to look up Landon Donovan and León, and then he's going to find the Soft Tattooed Millionaires podcast, and he's going to be like, wow, I want to watch more Liga MX.
That's true. I mean, we watched Liga MX growing up as two kids in the Midwest with no ties to it whatsoever, so it is possible.
So tell the readers a little bit about León and what they should look for when they watch Donovan.
Yeah, so León, it's the seventh largest city in the country, in the state of Guanajuato. They've won Liga MX 7 times, according to the International Federation of Football History and Statistics. León is North America's best team of the 20th century.
That sounds pretty official.
Yeah, official-ish. some nicknames for Club León are the Green Bellies, the Wild Beast, and the Green and Whites. So if you, boy in St. Louis, are listening to this right now, yes, watch for Landon Donovan, but also watch for their starting goalie, William Yarbrough. He is a U.S. men's national team member. He's only had like 4 caps, but he led Liga MX in saves and clean sheets a couple of years ago. He's 28 years old, played his entire career in Mexico, born and raised in Aguascalientes to his missionary parents, but he's really good and very well respected in León. So if you are watching Liga MX, yes, watch for Landon. I think he'll probably come off the bench. I don't think he'll start, but there are a lot of sort of aging strikers in Liga MX, so it would not surprise me. But keep your eye out on the goalie. They're also really good. I mean, like, they have a shot at winning it all this year. I know it's very early, it's only the second week, but they are very good. Also, one last thing. Donovan has chosen 20 for his jersey, and I wonder if he's trolling. Dos a cero.
Dude, the dude's brilliant, man. I mean, somehow Donovan is the most marketable person, even though he's kind of a wet blanket of a personality. He's just intuitively good at doing things that are great for marketing. But we should talk a little bit more about this nickname, the Green Bellies. Do you have any idea where that comes from?
I just assume it's because their jerseys are green.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the Green Bellies in particular.
Yeah, well, I mean, my douchey answer is that, like, the word for belly, like panza, is fairly common. You know, you hear it a lot in conversation more than you would hear the word belly in a conversation between two adults in America. So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But it's much less strange to hear, you know, like, las panzas verdes than green bellies.
Okay. Well, Godspeed, Landon.
Yes, Godspeed. I am so excited.
I wondered, for much of Donovan's career, if he felt a little bit like there was more he could have done in leagues abroad. Obviously, he had that stint at Everton where he was able to play after MLS season to go on loan at Everton. And that he was able to play in the Premier League. Wasn't a superstar, but he looked good and he looked capable. His speed obviously played at that level. And I wonder if part of him just feels like he left something unfinished by never playing in another, or not playing like enough. Yeah. In other leagues and around the world. And I wonder if, to him, this is trying to prove something.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, his announcement when he came out was sort of politically bent. It was sort of, you know, I don't believe in walls. So I wonder what exactly the motivation is, but I don't care because, like, I'm all about it. And I'm also happy that he seems to have a tremendous respect and, you know, at least some understanding of Mexican culture. I don't know. Like, I can't say from any point of authority, but at least he approaches it with respect. And even though he sort of has trolled Mexico in the past, and perhaps is trolling them right now with the Dos a Cero jersey, he wants to be there, you know? And he speaks fairly decent. I mean, he speaks Spanish, but it's funny because he always sounds kind of like this, the weird mousy voice Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan does not warm my heart, but this move does for some reason.
It'll be cool to watch. And I think, I wonder, yeah, well, I'm going to start repeating myself. I'm just excited for it. And I'm excited that there's just going to be more attention on Liga MX. Speaking of which, I want to go through a few things from Liga MX this week. Interesting, yes, and relevant to us. Cholos had an American player return, Alejandro Guido, who hurt his knee, like tore a ligament in his knee like a year and a half ago and has been fighting back, or returning and fighting for first team minutes. And so he played this week, which is cool. And but what's also cool about that is that Cholos, who are in Tijuana, have recruited him from, Guido is from San Diego. Also, former Cholos player Paul Areola from the San Diego area too. So this is an example of the kind of thing that we've been talking about, where Liga MX teams are recruiting American players from just across the border. So Cholos is recruiting players from 30 minutes away in the San Diego area. And they produced two young American players. They're an interesting team to look at, and we'll have to kind of like dig through some of their youth roster to see if they've got more American players coming up.
Yes. I've reached out to them before to talk to some of their academy folks. They were very nice, but it sort of fell through. Yeah.
Well, we'll put some extra pressure on them.
Yeah.
Anyway, is there anything else from Liga MX you wanted to go over this week?
I mean, I feel guilty because this is not, this doesn't have to do with American soccer, but I do want people to be more interested in Liga MX because I think it's such a great league and entertaining league. So I just really want to go, like, if you, you need to start watching Liga MX. It's the most popular league in the United States. It is part of American culture. We should be watching it. So just real quick, Giannini for Santos Laguna. He is a Cape Verdean. He scored a hat-trick in his first game, and they scored another goal today. Castillo for Pumas, the team that you have a soft spot for because of their...
Their handsome logo, their handsome badge, their crest.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
He scored four goals in two games. He had
To say, Liga MX probably has, and I know we've seen the praises of Liga MX too much, but they probably have the best, like, the best crest density of any league, in my opinion. Anyway, continue. Castillo for Pumas.
Today he scored a goal. He also set up the other one. You know, he's drawing fouls in the box. He's a fast, powerful Chilean forward. You know, my favorite team in Liga MX, Chivas, look pretty shaky, fragile. They've gone ahead in their first two games and gave up goals. You know, they tied their first one. They lost last night against Cruz Azul, who looks really good. Caixinha, the new manager, seems to know what he's doing there. And you just need to be watching Liga MX. It's great. If you here's a unpaid for plug. If you have Sling TV, it's only $5 a month to basically get every single Liga MX game. So, and it's so entertaining. It is such a great league.
Boss. Totally boss. Next week, we are going to be interviewing the LAFC Academy director, Todd Saldana. So if any listeners have questions for Mr. Saldana, please send them our way and we will relay them. It's got to be crazy to like be building a academy from scratch in such like a high visible environment.
I know. And a competitive environment.
Yeah.
It's not only do they have the Los Angeles Galaxy to compete with, but they also have the teams from Mexico. I know Chivas has an academy in Los Angeles as well. So a lot going on.
A lot of pressure on Mr. Saldana's shoulders, which you're going to bug him about.
In the nicest way possible.
Anything you want to add this week that we have not talked about?
No, I already got to talk about Jane the Virgin once, so I'm good. It's such a great show.
Scary German cave show.
I think our television shows also do a good job of showcasing our interest in soccer, where you watch much more Bundesliga than I do, and I watch a lot more Liga MX.
Have you watched that show on Netflix that's like it's like Club of Crows?
Yeah.
Okay, I watched a couple episodes of that, and I can't remember the exact name. It might not be Club of Crows, mm-hmm. but I think I watched one episode of that, and I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
I would watch more of it.
It's sort of like I can't read fictional books about soccer. I can't watch TV shows about like fake soccer teams. I don't know why. There was a Pulitzer shortlisted play this year about a youth girl soccer team called Wolves that I'm really excited to read. It's playing in Chicago. You should go see it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Intriguing.
Yeah.
That'd be cool and potentially a good interview. We'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening this week. Let's have hopefully by the time we talk next week, Alexi Lalas will have signed with Chivas in some amazing he will have formally abandoned all USMT ties and he's squaring up against Donovan.
I mean, if anyone is interested, you should look at the youth academy roster for Chivas, because there are a lot of American players and they cannot play for Chivas unless they declare themselves for Mexico. So it is a really interesting development model that they have going on.
What a beautiful world for soccer.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Thanks for listening this week. And we will see you in a few days with that interview with LAFC director, Academy director, Todd Saldana.
Let's go green bellies.